Good evening. This evening we're going to talk about just what we've been singing about. Those angels who appeared and made an announcement, or that angel who appeared and made an announcement, and those angels who appeared with a song. We've been following this story for the past few weeks. All those announcements. You know, I was trying to think of announcements. Why do we do announcements? We do announcements if there's a big sale. We like to have big splashy announcements. Or if there's something happening or we want to include people, we do announcements. And we want announcements to focus people's attention onto what we're trying to say, what we're trying to sell, what we're trying to celebrate. And this announcement, and we like to make announcements pretty splashy sometimes, really a grand thing, you know, whether it's fireworks or a banner behind a plane flying overhead or anything like that. Well, this announcement really exceeds all of that. It puts all of that to shame. We're going to look at this announcement that came once in history. And so we're going to look in the scriptures at Luke, the second chapter, beginning in verse 8, and once upon a shepherd's field, some shepherds heard this announcement. Pretty interesting, why shepherds and what this announcement was. Let's look at that. I believe it's on page 832. It was. I memorized it last week. I looked, I better make sure that's 832, and then I went home and said, I hope I'm right, and never rechecked that. Page 832 in the Pew Bible, Luke 2, 8 through 20, we're going to be looking at that. Looking at this announcement, what that announcement meant, what it means, what it meant to the shepherds, and what it meant or means to us, this announcement of this child. Let's begin. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. We're talking about, there have been several announcements moving up to this particular announcement. Mary was greeted by an angel, told she was going to conceive and give birth to a child, even though she wasn't married, she hadn't known a man. This was going to happen. And then an angel appeared to her aunt, I guess, a relative of hers, Elizabeth, and told her she was going to conceive, and she conceived. And then an angel appeared to Joseph, who was to be Mary's husband, and told him not to worry that Mary was pregnant. It was of the Holy Spirit. And now Mary and Joseph have come. They've come to Bethlehem. They've found a place because they couldn't find a room to stay. They found a place in a stable, and she gave birth, and it said in the scripture, she wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes, in linen cloths, and laid him in a manger. And suddenly, out in the fields, outside of Bethlehem, there were a number of places where people kept watch over their sheep, and somewhere out in that field were some shepherds. And they lived out in those fields, and which meant they were kind of rugged people. You know, you could see those leathery hands, those kind of dirty hands. They didn't get in very often to take a bath, or in fact, they were ceremonially unclean, and so they didn't often get in, maybe not at all, to the temple to worship, any of that, as they could possibly if they weren't unclean. They were considered unclean. They're out there keeping watch over their flock. Imagine you're a shepherd. You're out there all the time. You're watching those sheep. Your task is to guard those sheep from any threat, threat to those sheep, whether it be a wild animal, another wild animal, or thieves. And so they're kind of ready. They're kind of alert. And it's night. So they're a little more sensitive. They know the night sounds. They know what's a familiar sound at night, and they know what's not. Whatever insects, if there were out there, they know them. They hear them. They're not threatened by them. But unfamiliar sounds will catch their attention. And they're on that hillside, and they can watch out over that sheep. I wondered if they would keep a campfire, but I thought, no, they probably wouldn't. That would be something that might diminish their night vision. So they probably keep it dark so they can look out into the fields, keep watch, look, see what shadows shouldn't be there, be alert to sounds that shouldn't be heard, movements, whatever. They're out in the field keeping watch. And these guys are a rough bunch of characters. Sometimes they were not known to be people you'd want to hang around with. They were kind of rough, maybe a little dishonest at times. So this rough crowd, this poor crowd, this dirty crowd, this alert, vigilant, ready to take on any enemy crowd is out there. These shepherds are in that field watching diligently, watching the sheep. And an angel appeared. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed round about them, and they were terrified. We heard that this morning. We've heard it before. Every time an angel appears, terror, fear. The glory of the Lord shone around them. Not just around the angel, apparently around them, whether it was an intense light, a white light, whatever that was, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. This was not a familiar sound. This was not a night sound. This was not something they expected. It wasn't a wild animal. It wasn't a thief come to take their sheep. This was something else altogether, and they were terrified. You could feel them. You could see them taking steps back and kind of sinking down. They could feel the kind of the blood draining from their faces. What on earth is happening here? Where are we? But immediately, the angel said, "Do not be afraid," as they always do. Do not be afraid. And I wonder, okay, I won't be afraid. I'm just probably settled them a little bit. And the angel said this. Here is the announcement. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." The angel is bringing good news. Good news, which will be great joy for all people. Not just some people, but for all people will be great joy. Not just a little joy, but great joy, an intense joy. A joy that springs from within as we grow to understand that in reading further in the scriptures. That's that joy that springs from within as a believer in Jesus Christ. That joy that's unquenchable, great joy for all people. I don't know if these Jewish boys got it, but that all the people meant everybody, not just Hebrews, not just Jews. It meant all people were going to experience great joy. Certainly, they're going to remember these words for a long time, spoken from the mouths of an angel that scared them to death. And so the angel says, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." What on earth is this news? Today, in the town of David, that's Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a town of David. That's where people from the lineage of David who lived centuries before, that's where they lived, that's where they gathered, that's where they were. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Now, like good Jewish boys when they were younger, I'm sure they thought back and to their maybe the temple days, the synagogue days, the days when they sat around as a family, the extended family or whatever, and they heard from their parents and grandparents the promise of a coming Messiah. It was drilled into them. It was taught to them. They remembered that. And all of Israel remembered that. That was a significant promise for Israel, that there was a Messiah coming, a Redeemer, a Savior. Of course, over the years, that promise began to be interpreted as someone who would deliver the Jewish people from the Roman enslavement, the Roman occupation of their country. More of a political deliverance is what they expected it to be. But they heard that. Could this possibly be? A Savior has been born? I mean, they're listening to this. This guy shows up like he showed up with the glory all around him. They're going to listen to him. And they listened to him. And he said, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is God himself. In some versions, a Savior. Who is Christ the Lord? Christ, the Anointed One. Not only is he a Savior, he is the Anointed One. Not only is he the Anointed One, he is the Lord. That is a word that means God. And then they said something odd, I think. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Wrapped in linen cloths and lying in a manger. Now, that meant something to a shepherd, a Jewish shepherd. We'll talk about that in a while. But in the meantime, they're given instructions. Go, find them. Go, see him. Suddenly, if this wasn't enough that an angel appeared, suddenly the heavens broke open. A great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. There are not many times when there's appearances of angels, and even fewer times when there's an appearance of either, whether they're chanting or singing, of angels in this kind of praise that appears, that's spoken of. The previous time when that happened, as I remember, it was in Job. Job, God says to Job, were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? When all the stars of heaven sang together at creation, the angels sang together. It was worthy of that kind of celebration, the creation of the earth, the creation of the universe, the creation of man was worthy of this kind of celebration, this kind of joy and demonstration. A great company of the heavenly host. It wasn't just a few angels. It was a great company of the heavenly host. I'd say it was more than in the hundreds. It was a significant amount singing. Before, at creation, now when God comes to earth and Jesus is born, there's this kind of massive celebration in the heavens. I can't imagine. This is strange to me. These shepherds saw that. I don't know if anybody else saw that, but that had to echo through the hills. All of that singing, all of that celebratory noise, celebratory joy just reverberating through the hilly region of Bethlehem. And this is what they said. Glory to God in the highest, so and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Glory to God in the highest. God is to be glorified in the highest, and peace to those on whom his favor rests. This isn't just a general peace, but this is the peace of God coming to men. Glory to God in the highest. God gets the glory. The ultimate purpose of man is to glorify God. And when God does anything, it's first for his glory and second for our good. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. We're going to go back to this announcement later and talk a little more about what this really meant. But let's move. Now, when the angels left them and went into heaven, I'm sure the shepherds are still staring into the skies going, whoa, did you see that? What just happened? And finally somebody says, well, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see what this is. Let's go explore this. We've been told about it. We've been told where we can find this Savior. Let's go. The Lord has told us about it. They recognized that the Lord had spoken to them through this angel. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing. And so as they gathered their wits about them, got back up off the ground, they, I'm sure, began in a slow walk. Okay, we're going to, and then began running down those hills. Now, that's pretty interesting because these are shepherds. They're responsible for those sheep they're running away from. What would make a shepherd run away from his sheep? Apparently, a Savior who is born. So they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they're doing what the angel said. They're headed down the hill, perhaps first at a walk, then at a run. And they can see, I'm sure, Bethlehem on the horizon. It was a small town of about 300 at that time. And if it's night in the first century, there are very few, if any, lamps or candles or anything lit there. It's a dark place. And so they're headed who knows where to find this babe in a manger somewhere. So they head down the hills, heading into Jerusalem, tripping over one another, I'm sure. They hurried off and they found. They hurried off and found. That's a short sentence for these guys who had to go into town, find the right building, find the right manger, and explore this thing. But they hurried off, and somehow, whether they banged on doors or whether they started asking questions or whether they saw the only light, that dim light that was in the town or whatever they saw, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe who was lying in a manger. They found them. What do you suppose Joseph's reaction is? Both he and Mary have been through a lot. Mary has endured perhaps a lot of gossip about being pregnant while out of previous to being married. Joseph has stayed with her and endured that with her, and they both came a long way from where they were to Bethlehem, and now she's there in the stable. She's given birth. Joseph is trying to take care of her, and all of a sudden, some noisy, chattering shepherds came charging in. I'm sure that he stood up kind of defensive. What are you doing here? What do you want? And immediately, it says, they told them, and when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him. So they told Joseph about what they had seen. And I'm sure the words came tumbling out of each one of their mouths, tripping over one another as they spoke. And they saw and they observed this baby in a manger. This wasn't just a baby in a manger they were looking at. This was the Son of God. This was God Himself in human flesh, the God of creation in human flesh. There's a song, a new song called Arrival, that I like, and it's some of the words. Who is God that He would take our frame? The artisan inside the paint. The architect inside the plan. Robed in flesh, He created. Jesus the Maker has made Himself known. There He is, the playwright taking the stage, the artisan in the paint, the architect in the plan, God in the flesh, He created. And there, that's what they saw that night. And it says, when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. They couldn't keep their mouths closed about what they had seen. And they went off just spreading that word everywhere, almost like the first evangelists. I don't know whether they declared him to be the Son of God or just were so excited about an angelic visitation and an angelic message and wanted to tell everybody what they had seen. And it says that all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They were amazed. How could this happen to you guys? You're shepherds. Why didn't he come to the king? Why didn't he come to some of the religious leaders? Seems God chooses the weak things of this world to confound the wise. Not that he's has a special favor on poor and weaker and the underling. He doesn't. He doesn't favor anyone. But he chooses the weak things of this world so that the glory rests only with God. And he chose the shepherds. And they were the almost the first evangelists. I don't know what exactly they said, but they told what they had seen and heard. And they went on their way doing that. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She, in that nine-month period from the time the angel Gabriel visited her, told her she was going to get pregnant, and then she went in to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is a woman past childbearing who is pregnant, and Elizabeth just says to Mary that, calls her the mother of my Lord, before Mary has a chance to tell her about what's happening. And all that she's experienced, and all along the way, God has visited. God visited Mary. God visited Elizabeth. God visited Joseph, reassuring him. And here in the stable, after the difficulty of childbirth, and probably wondering, what on earth have we, what is this? Came tumbling these shepherds, and she just had to think about this in her heart. There was so much in that nine-month period that she had experienced, and she just had to think about it. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. If you saw an angel and he gave you a message, you would be glad if you went and you found out, yeah, that was real. I wasn't hallucinating. Thank God. And so they went, they found, and they returned. I don't think the shepherds ever forgot that experience. I don't think they ever forgot that kind of experience. The book of Luke was written by Dr. Luke, and it says he researched carefully to make sure all these things were true. And when it came to the story of these angels, he had to have interviewed a shepherd who was still around, who had experienced this, who could tell him in detail what had happened. They never forgot, I'm sure they never forgot what happened to them. But let's go back to this wild announcement and look first at the message of the angel. The message of the angel, what was it? A Savior has been born. This isn't just a Savior, a political Savior of Israel. They will come to know if they listen and follow the life of Jesus as he grows up and his ministry begins and he completes his ministry there at the cross and ascends into heaven. They will know that he's more than just a political Savior. He's a Redeemer. He's a Healer. He's a Deliverer. He's all of those things. He is Christ. He's the Anointed One, the one selected of God to do this, not just of his own will. He's anointed. He is the Lord. That is, he is God. Jesus in the flesh, God in the flesh, it says in John, that the flesh, the Word, God, became flesh and dwelt among us. He became flesh on that evening however your theology allows you, when he was conceived or when he was born, It was God in the flesh, in that manger, wrapped in those linen cloths. He was God in the flesh. This sign, I think this is important in this message. This shall be a sign unto you. What on earth? If I was going to say, go into Bethlehem and look for a babe in a manger, that's what you'll find. When you find the child, he will be in a manger. But it says, this will be a sign unto you. I did some research on that, and it's very possible. This is not written specifically in Scripture, but these shepherds on the hills around Bethlehem, many of them took care of sheep who were destined to be sacrificial lambs. In the Jewish religion, sacrificial lambs were slaughtered and the blood spilled in order to cover the sins of the people. And when one of those lambs was born, it had to be selected by the priesthood to be without spot or blemish. It had to be approved in order to be a sacrificial lamb. It had to be perfect. And so when it was born, it was wrapped up in cloths and laid in a carved-out stone thing, which was also called a manger. And it was laid there and wrapped up so that it didn't thrash around and hurt itself until it calmed down, and then it could be inspected and approved for sacrifice. They had to think of this. They knew about this. This shall be a sign unto you. I don't know if they got it, but that had to stick in their mind. This is like those sacrificial lambs up there on the hill. He's in a manger. These are shepherds. They know this. This shall be a sign unto you. I wonder if when those shepherds, later in life, if they were around, they probably were. Some of these shepherds were quite young. 30-some years later, when Jesus walked up to the Jordan River and John the Baptist saw him coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It doesn't just cover it up. And then those 3 years of ministry and then the cross where he died and gave his life in order to take away our sin, not just cover it, but to take it away. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I think hidden in that message was that sign to these shepherds who probably over the years followed Jesus. They had to. Why wouldn't they follow this one whom they had privileged to see when he was born? But what about the song of the angels? Because of this sacrifice, that God coming in the flesh, God is glorified. Glory to God in the highest. Our highest aim and purpose as human beings to bring glory to God. And anything God does first is for his glory. This explosion of angels and song and singing glory to God in the highest, we will see it again. Everyone who knows Jesus Christ will experience that in eternity. Thousands upon thousands of people from every tribe and language and tongue, along with the angels, singing glory to God in heaven. Peace among men with whom he is pleased. This peace is not just an absence of conflict. It is a settled confidence in God. It is when relationships are put right, our relationship with God. And because of that sacrifice, because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins, we can be at rest in our forgiveness, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been or what has happened to us. We can rest in the assurance of our salvation because we can look to a cross where a lamb took away the sins of the world. Those who accept him and accept that. The song of the angels, glory to God in the highest, peace among men whom he is pleased. Oh, we're not moving. Ooh, there it is. The Lamb of God has taken our sins, and we can experience peace with God and with others. As we celebrate Christmas, I know it's always said, don't forget the real reason, don't forget the reason for the season and all that. It's said over and over again, and that's one of those phrases that just goes over our heads after a while we've said it. But this is real. This isn't just some fairy tale. Remember at the beginning of this story, it talked about this happened during the time when Quirinius was king or that. It happened in a specific time in history, not once upon a time or in a time long ago or in a land far, far away or even in a galaxy far away. In a specific point in time, in a specific place in history, this happened. God came to earth, and the angels sang about it, and they announced it to some shepherds, to the lowest, to the weakest. They announced it to them. It is for all people, all people. Salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that child, grew for those 33 years and began his ministry. That ministry took him through the cross where he took away the sins of the world. It also took him to heaven where he's described in Revelation as both a lion and a lamb, the one who redeems us and protects us. If you haven't ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never said yes to Jesus, you can do that this year, this Christmas, as we celebrate. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this tremendous story that sometimes gets crowded out with decorations and packages and gifts and flashing lights, but the story of God becoming man in order to take away the sin of the world is a magnificent story, and we thank you for Jesus Christ who has done that in time, in history, for us. Thank you, Father. I pray that you would touch the hearts of each one here, especially those who have never made that commitment to Jesus Christ. Touch their hearts that they may respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.